Good morning. You are listening to Raven Radio. Today is Thursday, December 6, 2012. I'm Holly Keene, and this is Raven News. Sitka Mountain Rescue and a Coast Guard helicopter from Air Station Sitka located a missing boater Tuesday night. In a statement released Wednesday, the Coast Guard says an 85-year-old man was hunting with family members. When he didn't meet up with them around sunset, they called for help. It took about 2 hours for a Coast Guard helicopter to find the man, who was aboard his 32-foot fishing vessel, the Salt Shaker. A small boat crew from Sitka Mountain Rescue went to his location and helped reunite him with his grandchildren who were hunting. As Mountain Rescue Captain Don Cluding explains, the man's relatives weren't the only ones calling for help.
We started to conduct a search. A family member had gotten a cell phone call from the grandfather on board the Salt Shaker, and he reported that he couldn't find the two hunting partners. I ended up speaking with him at one point, and he thought that he was at Mud Bay, and he had, you know, lost, you know, the two grandchildren hadn't, or, you know, the grandsons weren't there, and so, you know, he was reporting them overdue, and so it was interesting. We had both parties reporting each other overdue.
Winds were about 16 miles an hour with an air temperature of 36 degrees at the time of the search. The Coast Guard reminds mariners to always file detailed float plans with family members and to take safety gear when leaving port. The Sitka School District will probably have to bridge a $1.6 million budget gap when it starts planning next year's finances. KCAW's Ed Runco explains.
School board members said Tuesday that they plan to take at least $500,000 out of reserves to address the shortfall. That still leaves, though, more than $1 million to find somewhere in the budget. Last year, Sitka schools faced a $900,000 deficit. District officials managed to close the gap by making cuts to the budget and thanks to additional money received from the federal and state governments. The school board must plan its budget before it knows how much money it will receive. And this year, there's another X factor. The school board is in negotiations with the two unions that represent teachers and hourly employees, such as secretaries and classroom aides. Board members met in closed session at the end of Tuesday's meeting in order to discuss negotiating strategy. Last night's budget conversation took place a little earlier than it usually does in the year. That's because business manager Dave Arp is leaving his post next month. Superintendent Steve Bradshaw says budget hearings probably won't begin in earnest until February. The Sitka School District operates a general fund budget around $19 million. It employs about 200 people and serves 1,300 students. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Ed Ronco.
Angoon Democratic Senator Albert Kukesh ends his 18-year career at the Capitol when the legislature is sworn in this January. But the longtime Southeast Alaskan politician still has plenty on his plate. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld reports.
Most Decembers, Albert Kukesh is making plans to move to Juneau for the legislative session. But this year, he's spending more time at his Angoon home enjoying the view.
I see really calm waters because it's high tide right now. And all of the beaches and all of the woods are covered with snow. And so is my dock right in front of my little house here.
Democrat Kukesh lost his Senate seat to fellow incumbent and Sitka Republican Bert Stedman in the November election. The two became opponents when parts of their separate Southeast districts were combined. The new district has less than a third of Kukesh's old constituents, dropping communities in the interior and Prince William Sound. Stedman kept more than two-thirds of his old district, including two of the region's three largest communities.
I wasn't surprised. I thought if we worked really hard, maybe we can pull a little bit of an upset here, but that wasn't to be. You know, people knew Stedman and his old district, and they voted for him.
Out of office, 64-year-old Kukesh will remain busy. He's chairman of the Sea Alaska Regional Native Corporation's board of directors. He also co-chairs the Alaska Federation of Natives board.
So I'm not going to be just sitting around not doing anything. I'm going to be pretty busy. In fact, I'm even contemplating getting back into commercial fishing.
Once a seiner and a store and lodge owner, Kukesh spent 2 terms, or 8 years, in the Senate. That came after 4 terms, another 8 years, in the House. Before that, he worked in the Capitol as Governor Tony Knoll's special assistant for rural affairs.
Albert's going to be a definite loss.
Kim Metcalf of Juneau is a Democratic Party leader who's been active in the Alaska Native Sisterhood.
He's a very powerful guy with the positions he holds on both Sealaska and AFN, so he's not going away. He's going to be around for a long time and, you know, use his speaking skills. He's a great public speaker, and I think that we're going to hear a lot more from him.
Metcalf says he was a strong advocate for education statewide and in the villages he represented. She also says he used his leadership and oratory skills to urge young natives as well as others to attend college. Kukesh and Stedman worked together in the Senate's bipartisan majority. Their race was largely respectful, and Kukesh continues speaking in positive terms.
Well, I think he's going to do a good job for our district. I'm just a little disappointed that they weren't able to put the coalition back together where he could have been the co-chairman of finance again or maybe even something more.
Kukesh headed up the Transportation Committee while Stedman assembled the capital budget as co-chairman of the Senate Finance Committee. But this election's Republican gains broke up the bipartisan majority, and the new leadership shut him out of budgeting. Stedman was offered chairmanship of the Health, Education, and Social Services Committee. He accepted, saying he looked forward to an opportunity to broaden his horizons. Kukesh isn't so sure.
I don't think he's really cut out for HES, but maybe we'll see something different out of him. I think he's more of a numbers man. He's very powerful in that area. He had a very good background in it. Finance was right up his alley.
Kukesh has been active in the Alaska Native Brotherhood, serving as regional president and secretary. He played gold medal basketball, a major Southeast competition, for 3 decades. But it hasn't always been a smooth ride. He's a constant target of Sealaska shareholders critical of the corporation, and he earned an ethics violation for comments some took as threatening the city of Craig to gain support of the corporation's land claims legislation. He was also among those cited for overfishing subsistence sockeyes near Rangoon. The case was dismissed. Despite all that, he says he still has a role to play.
My name is well enough known that I can still be a little bit of a force in Alaska, and if it's through the Native community, fine. If it's through other some venue, I'd be glad to be able to look at whatever comes down the pike. Maybe we'll have a Democratic governor in the next election, and I could be involved in that somehow.
Technically, the Angoon Democrat remains a senator until the next legislature gavels in January 15th, but there's little to do before then. I'm Ed Schoenfeld, reporting in Juneau.
A Ketchikan author has published his first novel. While a work of fiction, the story set in Southeast Alaska is reality-based and contains mystical elements and adventure. KRBD's Maria Dudzak spoke with the author and filed this report.
Rudy Sakamano's novel, Under the Raven's Wing, A Mystical Adventure of Southeast Alaska, was launched as an e-book on November 23rd. Sakamano first attempted to get the book published in the 1990s. He says he received positive reviews, but no publisher. Sakamano decided to leave the book on the shelf while pursuing other interests, but last summer decided to pick it up again.
The Craig Public Library had this Pitchapalooza that they did, and it happened to be coinciding with a time I was going to be off this summer. So I took 6 weeks and just rewrote the heck out of the thing and updated it and actually put cell phones in it and different things that just really didn't exist back then. And then finding out about e-publishing that is available these days made it a distinct possibility.
Pitchapalooza is an opportunity for aspiring authors to pitch their story ideas to publishers and book critics. Sakamano says that event inspired him to update his novel and reconsider publishing. The book begins with Kyle Thornton, a well-meaning but lonely boy, stealing a wheelchair from the pioneer's home to transport a keg to a party. The boy gets caught and ends up doing community service at the retirement home. There, he meets Jasper Callan, a gold miner facing early Alzheimer's disease. Kyle ends up working with Jasper at a remote mining site and later discovers why he is actually brought there. Discovered is a cold case disappearance, and throughout the story is the subtle, persistent guidance of ravens. Sakamano says the mystical adventure is a work of fiction, but much of the story is reality-based.
In the process of writing this book and learning about it and doing research, I actually went up to the pioneer's home and worked in the kitchen and went through a lot of the experiences that Kyle goes through. For the Alzheimer's parts of it, I talked to several people who have had the experiences with their parents, and all the different things that the Jasper displays as symptoms are all things that people actually told me that their parents did. So there's nothing that is out of my mind. It's just building them into the story.
At one point in the story, young Kyle is guided by ravens into a hidden cave.
The cave where the shaman lives is an actual cave on Prince of Wales Island. And the way the cave gets discovered by the boy and the actual things, the description of the inside of the cave is right on accurate from what I was told, into a little altar area and just an incredible cave over in Prince of Wales.
Sakamano says many other locations in the book are based on real places, and he tried his best to capture the mystical feel of Southeast Alaska and the sounds of the raven. As an e-book, the novel doesn't lend itself to traditional book signings. Sakamano is using a unique marketing approach he tried out recently in Ketchikan.
Under Raven's Wing, A Mystical Adventure of Southeast Alaska is the full title. I had that put on a business card that says, go to Amazon, take a look, read the sample. If you like it, buy it and review it, please. I handed out an envelope with that card on the front and $3 inside and just gave away free books. That's what I'm going to be doing, is going around town with these, and anybody, any friends that I have, I'm going to hand these out and say, could you please take a look at this? And if you get a chance, please, please review it, because that is what really makes the rest of the country take a look at it.
You can view the first three chapters of Under Raven's Wing for free at Amazon.com. In addition to Amazon, the ebook is also available from Barnes & Noble and iBooks. In Ketchikan, I'm Maria Dudzak.
And that's all for Raven News. If you've missed any of our stories and like to hear them again, please visit us online at kcaw.org. You are listening to KCAW Sitka.